It is my prayer that you have a Bible with you. Should it be the situation that you do not, if you will, ask someone. I think there's Bibles in the racks. I hadn't looked to see, but I'm sure somebody will hand you a Bible if you do not have one. I always encourage you to bring your own Bible. That way, if you so choose to mark in your Bible the passages or to make some notations of the things that we studied, then I encourage you to do that. I've been in two congregations where I had two different young ladies, one in one congregation, another congregation, that took notes on every Bible class and every sermon that was preached. And if you want to do that, and if you need to turn pages, that doesn't bother me. So feel free to take notes. If you have questions, I'll be more than happy to answer any questions that you might have. I did my reminiscing at Bible class. If you were not here, I'm here to study the Bible with you. Each time that I come to the pulpit, that will be our intention. We'll do no reminiscing. We'll do no storytelling. We'll do no jokes. I went to a gospel meeting years ago where the preacher spent 15 minutes telling jokes. He didn't have anything to do with his lesson. Never did understand the purpose, and that's not my purpose of being here. My purpose is to study the Bible with you. So each time that we come to the pulpit, I will ask you to open your Bible and to study with us. We will perhaps begin in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. If you have already heard, the subject that we're going to deal with is why we believe in God. Does God exist? And man in life is faced with any number of choices, any number of possibilities that we are totally confronted with. In fact, you're here this morning. Your presence denotes to me the fact that you do believe in God, that you are concerned perhaps about your eternal destiny, and if you're not in a saved relationship, as far as the Lord is concerned, it is my prayer that before you leave this building this morning, that you will either talk to me or some of the men here, and I'm sure any of us will be happy to consummate the necessity requirements as far as your salvation is concerned. If you're here, John 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins." The passage that we're looking at is, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Jesus also said, Luke 13:5, "I tell you, nay, no, except or unless you repent, you'll perish." In Acts 17 and verse 30, God now commands all men everywhere to repent. Upon that repentance, you would be willing to stand before those here assembled this morning to acknowledge and confess your faith in Christ, as Jesus said, as a necessity in Matthew 10, verse 32, Romans 9, verses 9 and 10, and then the consummating act. And Jesus said it. It's not something that I made up. It's not something that some preacher made up. It's not a doctrine of the Church of Christ made up. It is what the Bible says. And it is a statement from Jesus. I often ask people, if Jesus were standing right in front of you and asked you to do a certain thing, would you do it? Most people say, oh yes, I would respond immediately. Well, Jesus said in Mark 16:15-16, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." That's the Lord's instructions. Now, we sometimes are accused of being water dogs. You can't be saved without repentance. You can't be saved without faith. You can't be saved without confessing or acknowledging your faith in Christ. Neither can you be saved without being baptized into Christ, where God puts salvation. And the only place that I know of in all of the Bible, and there's only two passages, and one of them is Romans 6:3-5, that we're baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:26-27, telling us how to get into Christ, and that's through the act of baptism. Through that act, you're raised to walk in newness of life, faithful unto death. God has promised you a home in heaven. Now to the rest of our lesson. As I mentioned a moment ago, you're faced with a possibility, and there are only three that I know of. Atheism: God does not exist. There is no God. That's the basis of atheism. Psalms 14, verse 1 is repeated twice in Psalm 53 and verse 1. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Somebody asked the question recently, why do the atheists not have a holiday of their own? Well, they do. And that's April the 1st, April Fool's Day, because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Another possibility that you're confronted with, or may be confronted with, is agnosticism. God possibly may exist, but man is not able to prove to me that God exists. 1 John, the little epistle written by the Apostle John, the term K-N-O-W in some form is used over and over again to refute Gnosticism, because in the day that John wrote, Gnosticism was very prominent. And Gnosticism is based on the fact that you must have a knowledge, a tangible knowledge of everything, or it does not exist. And then the song that we sang, and I appreciate Tim for leading that song. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. God does exist. Everything in the universe that you can name, that you can point to, proves beyond any shadow of a doubt that God does exist. Now again, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now atheism, result of the teaching of the theory of evolution. Now when my children were going to school, to my knowledge, evolution was being taught as a theory. If I understand correctly now, your children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, and I'm old enough to have great-grandchildren, and some of them are in school, and to my knowledge, they are now, in some schools at least, being taught that the theory of evolution is no longer a theory, that it is a fact. Sad to say, isn't it? Agnosticism, that stems from science. And of course, true science and the Bible harmonize. Falsely so-called does not harmonize with the Bible. Science asks for an explanation for everything. Anything that cannot be explained, everything that you cannot prove by tangible evidence does not exist. God, based upon His Word. And again, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith you can't please God. Faith that comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. Now, faith in God versus atheism. Evolution. God does not exist. There is no God. Every effect, every result must have an adequate cause. Did the universe in which you and I live, not just this building, not just this town, not just this state, the entire universe, did it create itself? Where did it come from? Did man create himself? There has to be an explanation why you're here. Where did you come from? If you say the universe, if you say that man came into existence by itself, then you must declare also the fact that a house is the result of an accident or a chance. Passed by this lot one day and it was vacant. Passed by the next day and this building was sitting here. Where did it come from? I don't know. It just came into existence. We know better than that, don't we? Blind forces of nature never produced a house there. A cyclone, a hurricane, tornado never produced a house. I have on my wrist a watch. Now, don't get excited by me taking it off. You know, somebody asked preachers one time, said, what does preacher's motions indicate, you know, stand up, sit down? When he takes off his watch, that doesn't mean anything. So don't get excited. You're going to get out in plenty of time. I try not to lengthen my lessons. That watch came into existence. I don't know where it came from. It just came into existence. Didn't have a producer. Didn't anybody make it. It just came. I don't know where it came from. The car that you came in the, drove into the parking lot. I don't know. Didn't anybody make that car? It just came into existence. You don't believe any of those things, do you? You know better than that. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4, every house is builded by some man, but he that hath built all things is God. God is the creator and the builder. You can go down to Walmart or perhaps Lowe's Hardware. You can walk in there and you can purchase wood, plastic, the letters of the alphabet, A, B, C, all the way through Z, 26 letters. You can purchase them. Go do this now. Take those letters home and go to your kitchen table and throw them up in the air and allow them to land. When they land, when those letters land, they will automatically, without your assistance, they will automatically land and spell out your name. You believe that, don't you? You know better than that. If you threw them up 500 billion times and they came down, they would not spell something unless it was by accident. The only way you can spell your name or anything else that you want to is by your personal involvement. The other day, I went in the kitchen and opened a can of alphabet soup, poured it into a container to heat it, and lo and behold, I looked, and in that can of alphabet soup, would you believe it? There was my name spelled out. Why, you know better than that, don't you? I don't care if I stood and opened all the cans of alphabet soup in the world. What's the likelihood that it would ever spell my name? Atheism, no God, there is no God. God does not exist. Was there a time when nothing existed? Something never comes from nothing. We know that. We're aware of that. Something has always been. If there was ever a time when there was nothing, there could never have been anything in existence. I have a question for you. You came from a one-celled amoeba that crawled up out of the ocean. Where'd that amoeba come from? They've never explained that. Atheists have never explained to me where that one cell that you and I originated from, where that one cell divided to become warm and cold-blooded animals. Where did it divide to become male and female? And the answer to which came first, the chicken or the egg, is found right here. But atheism, evolution, doesn't give you that explanation. Something is, that is, it does exist. Man and the universe, they neither came from nothing, nor did they make themselves. God is just as everlasting. Are you holding a Bible? Turn to Psalms chapter 90 and look at the first two verses. God is just as everlastingly eternal backwards as He is into the future. Psalms 90, verses 1 and 2. Give you a moment to turn there. I want you to read it with me. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, and even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Look back as far as you can see. There's God. Look as far into the future as you can see. There's God. Psalm 90 verses 1 and 2. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Psalm 19 and verse 1. Go outside and look. And there's not anything that you can see that is in this world that was not created for man's benefit. The sun, the moon, the stars. In the beginning, God created. Genesis 2 and verse 7, God breathed into His nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. All life came from antecedent life, former, all the way back to God, the living one who gave life. If there was ever a time when there was no life, no God, then there could not have been any now or ever. Look at man. Did you create yourself? I don't know about all the facts. I have a tendency to forget things. But I have been told that in order to create something that would come equal to the human brain, the computers that man have invented and you use perhaps daily doesn't even compare with the ability that the human brain has. The heart. You ever think about your heart? We don't think about the heart often, do we? Unless we have some problems. That old ticker, she just keeps a beating 78 years and pumps the blood. Well, that's amazing, isn't it? The nervous system that has an effect upon our emotions, the eyes that you and I see through. There's not a camera yet that's been invented that can even come close to the human eye. Your lungs, your ears, blood vessels, your digestive system. Anything you think about this human body, you have to say with the psalmist of old in Psalms 139 and verse 14, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I didn't just come into existence. In the beginning, God created. God breathed into man, into his nostrils, the breath of life. Atheism has a lot of unexplained questions. But let's hasten on. Agnosticism. Does God exist? Well, I'll have to see him in order to know that he exists. Let me make this assumption this morning. Here's a person in this assembly that knows everything there is in the universe, everything that is here, except one thing. What might that one thing be? That one thing might be God. God does exist. In the beginning, God created. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The truth be, nobody can see God. God is a spirit. John 4, verse 24. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. I grew up in Salisbury, North Carolina. I don't know how many of you ever been there. Just outside the city of Salisbury, there is the Spencer Shops, where they used to turn the locomotives around and service them and all of that. In the middle of Salisbury, between my house and the city where we would shop then, there were no malls. There were 7 railroad tracks going in different directions, trains just about continually running through that town. Who run those trains? Engineers. Well, it so happened one day I was crossing those railroad tracks and happened to notice there's a little anthill down there. And I heard one of those little ants say to the other one, there's no such thing as an engineer. I've never seen him. Well, if there's an engineer, I dare him to come out here and step on me. Can an ant comprehend a giant locomotive with an engineer running it? Let me ask you something. Now listen to me carefully. And if you want to respond, you may do so. You can raise your hand if you want to. I'm not here to embarrass you. How many people in this audience here assembled this morning? How many of you have ever seen electricity? Anybody here ever seen electricity? I see the results of it. There's the lights. Here's the plug-ins. Plug the radio in, it plays. I see the results. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What's the evidence? The evidence says there's electricity. Do you see it? No. Gravity. If I drop this book and it suddenly floats to the ceiling, then I'm going to begin to ask some questions. What happens if I drop that book? It wakes you up, but why did it fall? Because of gravity. How do you know gravity exists? You can't prove to me gravity exists. Yes, you can. I didn't see it. Have you ever seen gravity? Walk outside. I can look through the back windows and I can see the wind. No, I see the results of wind. Anybody here ever seen the wind? What are we talking about? We're talking about things in this world that exist. You know they exist. You know they're here. I know what some of you are sitting there thinking. I'll be glad when he finishes so we can go get that picture and eat. I'm not a mind reader. Don't get excited. How many of you ever seen a thought? Anybody here ever seen a thought? I've seen the brain. I've seen pictures of the brain. I don't want to see a real brain. I've seen pictures of them. I know you've got one, or at least I hope you have. Your mind, does it exist? No. Yeah, I see the results of it. Look at that beautiful young lady or that nice-looking gentleman sitting beside of you and talk about how much you love them. Anybody here ever seen love? You ever seen love? You never seen love, have you? What do you see? You see the results of it. Honey, I love you. I go buy her candy. I go buy her flowers. I go buy her new clothes. I ask her to marry me. Does love exist? Does gravity exist? You can't say, oh, well, I don't know, because the evidence is here. 27 times in John's little epistle, 5 chapters, in refuting the idea of Gnosticism, 27 times he uses the words or some form of it, K-N-O-W. So then you can know that you can know that you can know that you can know that you can know. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. Because ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it. And that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He's the Antichrist. That deceiveth the Father and the Son, denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son, he hath both Son and the Father also. Why do we believe in God? What does God do for me? Not just that he exists, but that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. 1 Peter 3, verse 15, but sanctify, the word sanctify means set apart. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that's in you with fear. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's why we sang the song. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith is that which gives hope and peace to mankind. Romans 5 verse 1, therefore, and when you see the word therefore, wherefore usually refers to what has just preceded. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein you stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Philippians 4 verse 7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When the early Christians, first century, were being put to death. And if any of you have ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, there are passages in that of the way that Christians were put to death that will almost turn your stomach. You don't want to read it right after eating a big meal, because you'll lose it if you've got any stomach at all. But those who were putting these Christians to death could not understand. They couldn't comprehend why these individuals, these Christians, were going out of this world praying and singing praises to God. The world can't understand that. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Atheism leaves man hopeless, weak, walking only after the flesh. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 14:1, Psalm 53, verse 1. I don't know of any person who, of becoming an atheist, got to be a better person. I know an individual who would sit and argue the Bible with you. He was a member of the Lord's church. He left the church. He went into atheism. And his life from that point was on a downhill spiral. You don't become better. How many schools, how many hospitals and other facilities that Christians have built? How many of these do you know of that atheists have built? Man has everything to gain and nothing to lose by being a Christian rather than atheist. Best for this life, only hope you have for eternity. If there's something better than this old world, don't you want it? Oh, surely there's got to be. What if I'm wrong? What if there is no God? What if the atheist is right? When I draw the last breath and the undertaker, they don't like to be called funeral directors anymore, or undertakers, funeral director crosses and folds your hands in death. Your destiny is sealed. I'm just like old Rover. I'm dead all over. That's the end. There's nothing else. What have I lost? I've lost nothing. I've lost nothing. But, on the other hand, what if I'm right and the atheist is wrong? He's lost everything. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Let me, in concluding these remarks this morning, let me ask you to do something. And if you want to close your eyes, close your eyes. But stop and think about the fact that you, right here in this building, or before you leave these premises today, that you drop dead with a heart attack or some other ailment. When you awake on the other side of death, where are you going to be? Where are you going to be? If you're in an eternal hell, that's forever and ever. There's no purgatory. There's no second chance. You're there for eternity. You have all eternity to think about the fact. You know, I sat and listened to that preacher. I sang the invitation song, and I didn't respond. And now I have all eternity to think about it. If I could tell you, stand here and tell you this morning, you'd lose your mind. That'd be some consolation. But according to Luke 16, you'll possess your memory throughout eternity. And yet, on the other hand, if you wake on the other side of death with the eternities of heaven before you, I can't begin to describe them. God attempted to give us some idea in the book of Revelation, but I can't even begin to comprehend the beauties of heaven. If you're here and subject to the Lord's invitation, ever obeyed the gospel, will you do so? If you're an unfaithful member of the church, will you acknowledge your unfaithfulness? The brethren here will pray with you and for you. But whatever the need, respond while we stand and while we sing.